good morning, everyone. Did everybody enjoy the snow that we had this week? I know it was fun to see, but I'm glad it's gone. Why don't we just take a little bit of time this morning and just worship our Savior, just let him know how wonderful and awesome he is, and just glorify his name.
How many believe that God does great things? Come on. Come on. He takes the impossible and makes it possible. And all of us, if we were honest with ourselves, we would look back in our lives and think of all the things that we don't deserve, and yet he's done for us anyway. I like that because I think God didn't just do good things. He does great things. Matter of fact, I think when the things in life become just good, it's because we got to meddling with them. I think sometimes we hold back the plan God has for our lives. So let's not hold back what the Lord has for us this morning, but let's surrender it to him today. Amen? So let's open up our hearts and let's just offer this service to him. Lord, we thank you so much God, we lift up our hands and we lift up our hearts and we say today, Lord, we're believing for great things, not just good things today, but great things, great moments of deliverance, great moments of joy, great moments of freedom, great moments of healing, great moments of just being in your presence today. And we welcome you here into this house. Lord, you are welcome in this family, for we are your sons and your daughters. Lord, we thank you today that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to lift up your name, Lord, because that's who you are. Lord, we ask just to touch every part of this service today. We thank you for the great things you have planned. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're a visitor here this morning, we want to just say, hey, thanks for coming and being a part of Noble Assembly of God. We'd already consider you a family, and so just come in and join with us, and we're always looking for new family members who will come and worship with us, and that we can love on them and they can love on us. And so we want, if you're a visitor today, would you take the card in the seat back in front of you and fill it out, place it in the offering bag as it passes in a few moments, and that'll give us a record of your attendance, helps us to know that you came to visit with us today, and that'll be awesome. So if you would do that, that would be tremendous. Thank you for that. I have a few announcements for you this morning, and they're almost all of them. I'll expound a little bit, but almost all the information is found right here in the bulletin, so you can grab one of those on the way out if you haven't already gotten one. But this year, we're bringing back, by popular demand, this summer, Vacation Bible School, VBS. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. Yes. And so I am already anticipating snack time, so yes, and they've already assured me, Pastor, they're going to let me use the glue sticks and everything at craft, and so I'm building a craft and eating a snack. Anyway, we need lots and lots of help. How many of you know this is a ministry unto the kids within not just our church, but within our community, and we want to see a great harvest this summer through VBS, and Phyllis Ali has been gracious enough. Phyllis, would you wave at me? Phyllis is waving back there. She's been gracious enough to volunteer to put this together, and she wants lots of time so that we can make this the best it can be. And so if you'd like to be a part of it, you can talk to Phyllis, but also you can sign up on the sign up out there, and she'll be able to get a hold of you. Make sure you put your number on there. That way she'll be able to, like I said, get a hold of you, and they're going to start planning now. VBS will be June 27th through July 1st, and we're expecting just a great, great event. Well, I don't know if you know this, but it is February, and so Connect Groups begin. Our Connect Group experiences actually begin next week, our very first one. It'll be at 5 p.m. right here in our sanctuary, and we will be having a Super Bowl fellowship. And so some of you go, how many of you, raise your hand right now, didn't even know the Super Bowl was happening. That's how much you care about football. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. We'll pray for you. We'll be providing, the church will be providing pizza and drinks and things like that. We're asking you bring a side dish to share or a dessert, and we'll have tables set up out here. Those that are up in the front will be probably those that are really serious about watching the Super Bowl. Those in the middle are kind of ones that are kind of peeking at the Super Bowl, but they want to fellowship and hang out, and that's perfect. And then we usually have some people at the tables in the back, and they don't even know the football game's going on, but they're fellowshipping and playing games. You can bring a board game or whatever, and it's just a fun night to fellowship. And yes, it's called the Super Bowl Fellowship, but that's just part of it. We'll watch the Super Bowl, but we'll also just eat and fellowship and hang out together. And I'd love for you to be a part of that. There's not really a sign up for that. It's just we just want to make sure that you know to bring a side dish or a dessert and come and hang out with us. And it starts at 5 o'clock. And then our second Connect group that I want to talk about for just a second, that's going to be in February, is our family bowling night. And next week we'll have a sign up out there, and we'll begin to get signed up for that. It's $10 a person or $40 per family, And we had a really good time last semester in our Connect groups bowling. It'll be right here at Sooner Bowl. And so all the information of any Connect group, if you're wondering, you can always come talk to me, but it also will be out underneath our big poster. I try to put current information about the most recent or the Connect group that's coming up, okay? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, March 6th will be our family annual family meeting. You don't want to miss that. And then if you notice, there's some baby bottles out on the table. Is there any left? There's still a few out there. Thank you for those who have already taken some, but the Eden Clinic, which is their slogan is reproductive health care, pregnancy wellness, basically helping the vulnerable to make wise and godly decisions and helping them to carry through with the pregnancy that the Lord is helping them with, and we're going to walk alongside them. So anyway, if you would like to help, you can take a baby bottle, fill it up with change, or if you want to put some cash in it, or you want to put a check in it, just make sure that it's back by the 27th, which is the last Sunday of this month, and we're just going to celebrate for what the Lord's going to do through that fundraiser. And as the ushers come to receive of the tithe and offering, let's give them a hand. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. Let me just say this. Wednesday was the deadline, but we did not have service because of the ice storm. Today, if you have a young person who's going on our missions trip for spring break, they need to turn in their packet and their $50 deposit today. If they're going and they do not have that today, they need to come talk to me so that I can keep an accurate list of who all's going. We're really excited about ministering at Mission Arlington down in Texas. And this is, I don't know how many years in a row, probably 5 or 6 years in a row we've done that. And it's a blessing just as much to us as it is to the people we serve. And so just make sure you get that paperwork in. All right, let's pray with the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you so much once again for your blessings. Lord, we give out of obedience. We give with a cheerful heart. And Lord, we give because we know, God, that you're going to multiply it and people are going to come to know you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Table is set for me.
Jesus, the Son of God, hung on a cross to
this morning with just praise and thanksgiving on our hearts and a desire just to let you know how much we love and appreciate you. But words cannot express what's in our hearts. For we know that you are the God of gods, the Lord of lords, that there is no one greater or mightier than you are. And you've said that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow someday and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Lord, we just want to have a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning. That you would be glorified and lifted up, because by your stripes we are healed. That's one of the things I just love about the Bible. There's no doubt. It says you are healed. You have been healed. If we have faith the size of a mustard seed, that it will come true. So we just cry out the name of Jesus today upon our church, that we will rise up to be the church, a godly church that spreads your word across this noble and across Oklahoma and across the world, because that is our desire and it is our hope. That you be glorified in everything that we do. Thank you, Jesus.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Burn like a fire. darkness over every enemy. And Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name.
Lord, there's no doubt that you are for your people, and that when we're going through difficult times that you're right there with us. You said that we shouldn't worry about anything, but should pray about everything, to tell you what we need, and then to thank you for all that you've done. So this morning, we just thank you, Father, for all that you've done in our lives and all that you're about to do. The miracles that are going to break out in this place, the people that are will be healed, the blind that will see, the lame that will walk, the deaf that will hear. We believe that all these things can happen. The cancer can be removed. Depression can be lifted. We believe that your name, everything is possible. So faithful, yes you are, so constant, so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do. You fill me, you see me, you know my every move, and you love sing to you. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come now, even if to ride upon for me.
Praise you, Jesus. So thankful the Lord is for us. Amen. You have several prayer needs this morning, some very, very serious. I'm just going to read these and make a few comments, and then we'll pray. Robert Smith fell this last week, broke 3 ribs, and he is at home. He was taken to the hospital, but we want to pray for Robert. Today happens to be his 88th birthday, and so we want to pray that the Lord would just heal him up. Francis and Shirley Grindstaff had a car wreck and totally messed up their car. We're thankful they were okay, but let's lift them up in prayer today. And then Preston Claiborne, he is the son-in-law of the Downs family that has the Downs family Christmas out here on 72nd. Passed away of COVID. I think he was 30-some days on a respirator. Carol and I actually knew him when he was about 4 years old. He lived across the street from us in Enid, there on Constitution Street. His dad, Robert, and dad, you and mom know him, worked at the funeral, the cemetery there in Enid. Anyway, Preston passed away. He was about 38, 39 years old. So we want to pray for his family and for the Down family, that the Lord would comfort them. April McDonald really needs the Lord to touch her today, needs a miracle. And pray for April. Bobby Saulfrank recovering from surgery today. We pray for her. Shelly Tyler is having a serious upcoming surgery. And then Debbie Ford, who used to run Brockhouse Flowers, is in serious need of a miracle this morning. She is in a induced coma and is not doing well. And so how many of you believe in miracles this morning? Let's pray over these needs today. Father, we come to you, Lord. We know, Father, there is nothing too hard for you. There is no sickness or illness that is beyond your help. So, Father, we just lift up these needs today. As a church body, we pray for Robert. We pray that you would just touch him today on his birthday, that you would heal these ribs and bruises, and that you would just strengthen him, Lord, we pray. Father, we thank you for watching over the Grindstaffs. We continue to just pray for them to be able to get their car fixed, and thank you for just sparing their lives. Father, we pray for Preston's family today. We pray that you just give them comfort, Lord. It just seems so unfair. A man at such a young age being taken from this life because of this virus. Lord, we just pray for his family today. We pray for his parents, his brother Barrett. We pray for his in-laws, the Downs family. We just lift them up today. We pray for April, Lord. Just touch her and minister to her right now as she's in the hospital. Bring healing to her body, we pray. Lord, thank you for being with Bobby in her surgery. I pray that she continues to get well and be strengthened, Father God. Be with Shelly as she's facing this surgery. We pray that you would just keep your hand upon her. Father, we pray for Debbie Ford. We just pray over her. We pray a miracle over her today, Lord. Lord, bring her through this time of illness, Lord. Restore her health back to normal, Father God. Give her back to her family, Lord. Just touch Debbie right now. And Lord, I know there's many others who have been sick, who are sick. We just ask that you move across this land. Lord, that you bring healing across this land, Father God. Not only physically, but spiritually, Lord, that you move across our land and heal our land as we humbled ourselves, Lord, to call upon you, God. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, over every land, over every city, every town, every community, Lord, over this nation and every nation, Lord. Move by your Spirit. Empower your church. God, let your will be done. We thank you, Lord. We praise you right now. Let's just give the Lord praise for meeting these needs today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing that one more time. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me. us who you are. Remind us of your power, of your grace, of your help, of your healing, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful job, worship team. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's good to be back with you. It's good to see you again. I feel like I haven't been to church in a month, even though it's been a couple of weeks. It feels longer than that. But thank you for Pastor Phil for filling in last Sunday at the last minute. Good job. I called him about 6 o'clock and said, you're on. I can't talk. All I'm doing is coughing. I got a severe headache. So he said, I'm on it. So give our associate pastor a great hand of appreciation. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 10 and a message entitled, Don't Lose Your Balance. Don't Lose Your Balance. Luke chapter 10, at the conclusion of the service this morning, we're going to have communion. It's always a wonderful time to come around the table of the Lord and remember what wonderful things the Lord has done in our lives. Are you thankful for the Lord today? Has he done wonderful things in your life? Amen, amen, amen. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. I don't know if I told you the verse. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that you would just speak to us, Lord. God, you know where all of us are at spiritually and what we need and what we're facing. And Lord, I just pray that you would just minister to each person as they need to be ministered to. In Jesus' name, amen. How important is balance? Balance is really important, isn't it? It's very, very important, or we couldn't walk, we couldn't run. Has any of you ever had vertigo? Wow, that is a miserable thing. I had that one time, and I didn't know what I had. I got up from bed to get around, and all of a sudden, the room was spinning, and I got so dizzy, and I just kind of fell back on the bed if I tried to get up. Anyway, it turned out the doctor said it was vertigo. I'd never had that before. But that is a weird feeling. You just don't have any balance. It's amazing that balance comes from just your inner ear. This is little bones or whatever is in your ear is how you keep your balance. But we have to have balance. Balance keeps that huge crane that you see building skyscrapers. Yesterday, we were in the Dallas area, and we saw these huge cranes building these skyscrapers. And you're thinking, man, they don't even have a big base. You would think there would be arms going way out, holding up. It's just down to, you know, a hole in the ground. And so I kind of did some research on that this week. I thought, how do they work that? They build this big hole and fill it full of cement, and it's set down in there in a solid base. And then that crane builds itself. They put those pieces in there. And then they have those weights up there that counterbalance the weight they're lifting. Anyway, it's quite a thing. And they've got those things that go hundreds of feet in the air. It's just amazing. But balance is a key factor in the way those things operate. Our bodies work by balance. There's various nutrients and chemicals and vitamins and the way our systems work. They all work together in balance. There is a proper balance in our solar system that keeps the planets in alignment. They said if the earth was just a few degrees closer to the sun, we would burn up. And if a few degrees further from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. It's so important that we have balance. Nature works in a perfect balance. Have you ever had a tire on your car that was out of balance? You're going down the road, you just feel this vibration, and you have a tire that's out of balance, a real frustrating ride. So everything works by being in balance. Spiritually, we must stay in balance in order to stay spiritually healthy, because our spiritual health affects our mental health, affects our emotional health, affects our physical health as well. All of these things are in balance or should stay in balance. Down through the ages, heresies. A heresy is where you take a truth and it's stretched out in a way extreme one way or the other that makes it untrue. And there have been heresies down through the ages because people take a particular truth of Scripture and they take it out of context and they get off track because they get off in a false doctrine or a false belief because they did not keep the truth in balance. The story of Mary and Martha that we just read is is one example of balance, of the importance of balance in our lives. The balance of worship and work. The balance of worship and work. So let's look at, back at these verses, and we'll make some observations as we go that can help us stay balanced and fit in our walk and in our witness for Christ. So first of all, I have 4 points to the message this morning. First point is this: a wonderful welcome. A wonderful welcome. Verse 38, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Jesus was welcomed into Martha's home. That is the first step of our walk with the Lord, is welcoming Jesus into our heart and into our home. May that be true of all of us. I trust that everyone here and those watching over the live stream today have welcomed Jesus into their home. He makes a big difference, doesn't he? Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome if everyone in the world did that? If everyone in the world, everyone in Noble, let's bring it down here a little closer. If everyone in Noble suddenly said, Jesus, you are welcome in my home. I commit my life to you. Come into my heart and into my family. And everybody in Noble did that. There would make a big difference in our community, wouldn't it? There would be a vast difference in our streets, in our neighborhoods, because people have welcomed Jesus. The bars and the casinos would have to close, and the churches would have to expand, because everybody has welcomed Jesus. You say, Pastor, that's only a dream. It's not reality. Well, maybe so. But like the starfish story, you've heard the starfish story, right? The guy's throwing starfish back into the sea because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them on the seashore. And the guy said, why are you doing that? Because he said, they'll die if they're staying up here on the beach. And he said, well, there's so many. You're not going to make much of a difference. And he picked up a starfish and threw it in. He goes, it made a difference in that one. Aren't you glad that the Lord cares about individual hearts and lives? And if we can just make a difference in one family, in one person's lives, it's worth all the gold in the world and all the riches of this world that don't even match to what God has prepared for us. Amen. The churches that have the biggest impact are those that believe that there are many, many, many more homes in their community that would welcome Jesus and that family be changed if given the opportunity. They don't give up. A church that has an impact doesn't give up and write off the world and say, well, they're just all going to hell. There's not much we can do about it. It's the last days. Let's just hold on to our little few and let's all get to heaven. No. The churches that have an impact are the ones that, even if it's just that family right over there, and that family, even if it's just a few, we're going to go after everybody that we can. That's why I was thinking about VBS this year. I thought, we got to do VBS. That's one of the greatest tools. If you ask a lot of people in their heritage of their Christian life, where did you first hear about Jesus? Oh, I went to a vacation Bible school when I was a kid, and it planted the word in my heart. It planted that seed. And I thought, Lord, if we're going to reach into this community and make a difference for all these starfish, we're going to start with VBS again this year. Jesus told us to look at the fields. He said they are what? They are white unto harvest. They are ready. With all that is happening in our world right now and all that's going on, this may very well be the greatest time in history to reach people with the gospel. People are looking for hope. People are looking for answers. People are looking for something that they can count on that's true and right. People are looking for the answer that we have in Jesus. So it very well may be the greatest time that we can introduce people and they can welcome Jesus into their home. You see, Martha's welcome not only changed her life, but it changed the life of her sister Mary. And it changed the life of her brother, who, what was his name? Lazarus. He was certainly, they welcomed Jesus a few months or a year earlier. I don't know how much time happened from this meeting until John chapter 11 when Lazarus was what? Was raised from the dead. They had a relationship with Jesus. One of the Jesus' most favorite places to go and people to hang out with was the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. 2 or 3 miles outside of Jerusalem was a little town called Bethany, and that's where they lived. And Jesus would stop there often. I'm glad they welcomed Jesus because Lazarus' life literally depended on it. And the way you welcome Jesus, somebody else's life may very well depend on it. Not just talking about physically, but spiritually. You must realize that each of our lives touches the lives of many others. Our decisions and our actions affect others for better or for worse. My grandchildren, all 7 of them, wonderful little things. Not things. They're not things, they're people. My 7 grandchildren are touched by the Lord because my children's lives were touched by the Lord. They were touched because I was touched and Carol's life was touched by the Lord. Our parents' lives was touched by people who witnessed and ministered to them. And you could keep on going back and back and back. And you can do the same thing, hopefully, if you look at your life and heritage. If you're blessed to have a Christian family, maybe you're the first one. Praise God that you can affect the next generation and the next generation. Your wonderful welcome of Jesus Christ into your life came because someone else gave him a wonderful welcome in their life. Your wonderful welcome in turn gives an opportunity for others to have that wonderful welcome. No man is an island. We all as believers share a gospel to one extent or another. Listen to this little poem. The gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are read by more than a few. But the one that is most read and commented on is the gospel according to you. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Do men read his truth and his love in your life? Or has yours been too full of malice and strife? Does your life speak of evil, or does it ring true? Say, what is the gospel according to you? That's pretty powerful. We're all preachers. Most of you in here didn't go to Bible college, but I want to tell you something. You're all a preacher because your life is preaching. And you have an audience whether you want one or not. People are looking at your life. and they're determining whether they want to welcome Jesus into their heart or their home by what they read from your life. Let's let our gospel bring about wonderful welcomes. Everybody say wonderful welcomes. Wonderful welcomes of the Lord in the hearts and in the homes of everyone we meet, of those who come across our path. Amen. Point number two. Following a wonderful welcome, we see in verse 39, a wise woman. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. You see, once we welcome Jesus into our heart and our home, it's important that we learn and listen to him. It's important that we learn about Jesus, that we listen to what he tells us, that we do what he says, that we have a relationship with him. Christianity is not just a get out of hell free card. It's not just fire insurance. I'm thankful that if I know Christ, I don't have to fear the fire. But that's not what it's all about. It's a relationship that I must pursue as he pursues me. And we're in relationship. It's not just, okay, I've made that decision. I don't have to worry about hell now. I'm just live my life how I want. It don't work that way. Listening and learning is vital to our growth in the Lord. Just like listening and learning is important to our growth mentally and in our education as we go to school, and even as we continue as adults, we have to continue to learn and listen to others. We listen and learn from the Lord by studying and reading the Bible. A dusty Bible means a defeated life. We listen and learn by regularly coming to church services and hearing the word preached and coming to Sunday school and listening to the teachers or coming to other discipling opportunities, rangers for our kids and girls' ministries and children's ministries and adult ministries, where we learn about the Lord and learn to know his ways. We do that by regularly praying and seeking the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, I just came to talk with you today. Lord, help me today. Father God, let me just take these moments here just to sit at your feet, to turn off the television or the radio or the computer or the iPad and just sit here with your word. And Lord, I just want to commit this time to you. We need that. We need that time. We need to turn off of distractions around us. We grow and learn by in our relationship with the Lord by worshiping and praising the Lord, by involving ourselves and using our talents for his glory. I thank the Lord for all who are involved in some sort of ministry here at Noble Assembly of God. There is a lot of work to do, and it takes a lot of people doing it. Earlier in Luke chapter 10, the Lord had a conversation with an expert in religious law that tells us the importance of wisely spending or investing time with the Lord. Look back at Luke 10, 25 to 28. It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. Do this and you will love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you do that, you will live. So it's important that we take time to love the Lord, all our heart, mind, and soul. Mary was indeed seeking to love the Lord with all of her heart, all of her soul, all of her strength, and all of her mind. She demonstrates for us the more we seek him, the more we find him. And that it is a good thing And it was commended by the Lord. She was commended by the Lord for what she was doing. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we read the word of God and as we hear the word of God, it builds faith in our heart. For the more we read the word of God and talk to God, the more full of the Holy Spirit we will be, and the more powerful our gospel, the gospel according to you. Amen. I heard about a family who had a son who was going off to college. He left for Duke University his freshman year. And as he was leaving, going out the door to go to his first year at Duke, his parents gave him a gift. They gave him a Bible. And they said, this will be a great help to you if you will read the Bible while you're in college. So he took off to college, and later he began sending them letters asking for money. And they would write back to him, read your Bible. Read your Bible. And they would give him chapters and verses of where to read. And he would reply that he was reading his Bible, but he still needed money. Well, when he came home for semester break, his parents told him they knew that he had not been reading his Bible like he said he was. He said, how do you know that? Because we tucked $10 and $20 bills in your Bible at all of the verses we cited for you to read. And if you would have read your Bible, you would have had your money that you needed. So may each one of us not only welcome the Lord, as we talked about in point one, but let us be wise like Mary and seek to spend time with him through the word and through prayer. And that will be more valuable than a few $10 or $20 bills that we might have otherwise. Amen? A wonderful welcome, a wise woman. How much you want to bet number three has got some W's in it? Number three is a working woman. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Martha was busy. She was busy preparing a big dinner. It was a lot of work. She was having to peel the potatoes and cook the roast and put the casserole together and cook the dessert and, you know, mashed potatoes, green beans, and roast. That's the perfect Sunday dinner. Every once in a while, Mexican's good too. She wanted everything to be just right, just like you would if the Lord said he was coming to your house. You would want everything to be perfect. So she was working hard. And let me say this, there is nothing wrong with work. We're raising up a generation of people, it seems, in our culture today that don't really want to work. They just want to get a check, but they don't want to work. Work is commendable. Work is commended all through the Bible. You read the Proverbs and other places. Work is commended. It is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with work. So she was doing a good thing. However, she was getting worried and anxious and upset and distracted, which is not such a good thing. It was affecting her attitude. Throughout the rest of this message, I have statements that have a star, either one, two, or three by them. So when I come to those, I'm going to tell you, listen, there's a star by this one. This statement, there's one star by it. Doesn't mean it's better or worse than a two star. I just happen to put one. She was more concerned, talking about Martha here, she was more concerned with the work of the Lord than the Lord of the work. That can be dangerous. We have all this energy to work for the Lord, but we don't want to worship the Lord and take time to slow down and seek the Lord. Serving the Lord is a great and necessary thing. I've already mentioned it takes a lot of people doing a lot of things to serve the Lord. There will always be work to do and the need for laborers to do it. Jesus told the 70 after he sent them out, he said in Luke 10:2, he said, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field. There's always going to be a need for workers. Nevertheless, balance is necessary. Balance is necessary. There must be a balance between worship and work. Another star. While we can worship while we work, in a sense, there is still a vital need for undistracted time with Jesus. And I want to tell you, the devil will work over trying to keep you from that. I know he does with me. I get so busy thinking we got to do this, we got to do that. You know, this needs done, this sermon needs prepared, we got to get ready for Wednesday night. What are we singing Sunday? We need to find somebody to be in charge of this ministry. We need this, and to go in here, got to get the hospital, need to go out and see this family out here. And the Lord said, Steve, yeah, those are all great things, and there's always going to be a ton of things to do, but how about spending some time with me? And sometimes I confess when I come in, okay, I'm coming to the sanctuary, I'm going to pray. But you know what my mind is thinking? All the things I'm not doing. I have to say, Lord God, help me to turn my mind off from that and just sit here and talk to you and think about you and be empowered by you and be impassioned by you and be strengthened and filled with the Spirit by you. There is a time for work. And there is a time for worship. Mary, at that moment in her life, needed and wanted to worship the Lord. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. That was her priority. That was what she wanted. And Jesus said, that will not be taken away from her. Out of that time with Jesus would flow the passion and the strength to do the work of the Lord. The worship would beget the work. Martha, however, chose to work when what she needed was to worship for a bit and be filled with and fill her spiritual tank with the joy and the strength of the Lord. When she didn't, it affected her attitude. She began to be whiny and critical. She began to be critical. She began to whine and complain. Star by this one. A telltale sign of weariness is you begin to get a critical, complaining spirit. How many of you like to hang out with critical, complaining people? How many of you are that people sometimes? Yes, we're all that way at times. I know I am. Just ask my staff and my family. You know it's time to put aside the work and take some time to worship when you start getting critical and angry and bitter and upset at everybody around you. It's a sign you need to get back at the feet of Jesus. Mary wanted to be at the feet of Jesus because she needed to be at the feet of Jesus. Martha didn't see the need to be at the feet of Jesus, but she needed to be at the feet of Jesus. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord, help me out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. waiting upon the Lord renews our strength, renews our passion, renews our vision. Otherwise, it's depleted and we're defeated and we're discouraged and we're whiny and we're critical. Satan works hard to keep us from the Lord's presence. He knows the more time we worship, the more the work will flourish, and the more he gets beat. I want to beat up the devil, don't you? I don't want him to win. I want him to be beat. I don't want him to beat me. I want to beat him. Learning to come away and lean on and learn from Jesus is priceless. Here's an interesting thing. If you look back through history at the people that seem to accomplish the most for the Lord, they seem to have the greatest achievements in the church and for the work of the Lord were the people that spent the most time at the feet of Jesus. The people that prayed the most and spent the most time on their knees are the people that accomplished the most for the kingdom. You can read it in histories and biographies of great Christian leaders. They spent a lot of time on their knees. And I want to be that way. I don't spend enough time on my knees. I need to do better. Last of all, we see, and you're sitting there thinking, what's the next WW going to be? It's not going to be a WW because it wouldn't work. I tried every way to make a WW out of this. How can I get verses 41 and 42 to flow into the WW pattern? I just gave up. I called it a compassionate Christ. Because if you notice how verse 41 says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha. My dear Martha. What a compassionate way to correct a wearied, distracted, upset, and anxious friend of his. I'm glad God lovingly corrects us rather than clobbers us on the head. Aren't you? I'm glad he lovingly brings us here. Come with me. Here, this is what you need to do. Not you, sorry, no good Christian, I should have never called you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't beat us up like that. He lovingly tells us, please, please don't be upset with Mary. Here's the deal. Star, the Lord wasn't condemning work and service. He was correcting Martha for complaining to him that at that moment, Mary was choosing to do the one thing that mattered the most. He was correcting. The compassionate Christ was correcting a weary servant because she was upset because her sister was choosing what could not be and would not be taken away from her. She needed to sit at the feet of Jesus. Mary needed to sit there at that moment, just like we all need to and must do. 3 stars by this next statement. We must stay passionately pursuing the Lord if we are going to powerfully fulfill his purpose in our lives. We must stay passionately pursuing the Lord if we are going to powerfully fulfill his purpose in our lives. Worship and work, they're both needed. You got to have work to do, got to have workers to do it. There is work to do, you got to have workers to do it, and you got to have worship. This VBS that Pastor Phil was talking about, the Phyllis has agreed to coordinate. If Phyllis is the only one that's on that list is going to do it, I want to tell you right now, Phyllis, I love her to death, but she's not Superwoman. She could not do it by herself. It would not work. Can you imagine her running around getting the snacks and teaching each class and going out and leading the recreation time and then coming here and doing a puppet show and whatever? Running around, it wouldn't work. But you know what? If we all say, this is something I can do, I can be involved in this work of touching children for Christ, But before we do that, and in the time we're doing that, in the midst of doing all that, we must not be afraid to get down on our knees and worship and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I can't even serve cookies without you. I can't teach the lesson, but Lord, if you'll help me, if you'll anoint me, this will be a wonderful VBS. And I'm just choosing VBS because it's fresh in our mind. That's true for every ministry, for every person, for everything you're involved in, for even the work you do in your secular work. It is your ministry. There must be time for both. Otherwise, we are out of balance. We must stay in balance. Conclusion, musicians, would you come? Let me just ask you some questions here just to think about as we contemplate this message this morning, and then we're going to go to the Lord's table. But let me just ask you, are you in balance? I already confessed to you that I think I'm a little out of balance because I tend to try to do more work than coming away and sitting at Jesus' feet. When in reality, if I would spend more time with Jesus' feet, it would probably make the work go a lot faster, a lot better, and a lot more productive. I guess I'm preaching this message to me. It's okay, isn't it? Probably, if we're all honest, all of us probably battle the same thing. I'm no different than you. I may be called to be the pastor of this church, but I'm no different than you. I'm a human being just like you are. Satan struggles and tempts me just like he struggles and tempts you. Are you working for the Lord? See, I don't think the Lord, he doesn't want us just to spend all our time in worship. Oh, I just worship the Lord. Don't ever do anything else. That's the pendulum the other way. Because if we're truly worshiping the Lord and being filled with his purpose and passion and his strength, we're going to want to serve and do something, even if it's small. And then over here is the people that just work and work and work, but they never spend any time with Jesus. And the Lord's saying, well, I'd really help you. You know, I'm waiting on you over here. And I'll strengthen you. I'll give you supernatural strength and ability you won't believe you can even have if you'll just come and hang out with me for a while. Instead, you're trying to do all this in the flesh, in your own strength. I've told you in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord, that you do what you do. I want to help you. I want to empower you. I want to make you like Superman, bigger, stronger, faster than you ever could be, you know, whatever the little thing advertises him, better than you are. Are you worshiping the Lord in Bible study and prayer? Are you keeping your balance? Are you tired and getting a critical spirit like Martha did? Do you take time to sit at Jesus' feet? Have you discovered the joy of being with Jesus as Mary did? Do you love the Lord with all that's within you? And maybe you're here today and you don't even know Jesus as your Savior. My prayer for you today is that you would come to know him. It's the only way you're going to get to heaven. It's the only way you can find true joy and peace in this life is if you know that your sins are forgiven, that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're on your way to heaven, and that God is working and molding and moving in you. So, Lord God, there's probably all kinds of answers in all these questions I just asked, and there may be even someone today watching over the live stream or right here in the sanctuary that doesn't know you as their Savior. Right now, Father God, I pray that you would speak to the need in each heart and at each life. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now. I know that all of us could raise our hands regarding these different things about worship and work. But I'm most interested today, if there's someone here today that you don't know for sure that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't know for sure that you're going to heaven if you were to die today. You don't know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And you're just saying, Pastor, I need to know him today. Would you just lift up your hand and put it right back down and say, that's me. I don't know for sure if I'm a believer or not. I don't know. Anyone here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you help us all to worship and to work in balance. I pray that you help us to learn from Mary and Martha how to better serve you and more effectively serve you in the time we've been given on this earth. Thank you, Lord God, for your continued compassionate, loving correction in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your help. And Jesus, as we come to the table this morning to recognize and remember all you've done for us, let our hearts be touched. Let our mind look back to where you brought us from. And let our mind look forward to what you're bringing us to, when one day we will spend eternity in the place that you've prepared in heaven with our loved ones. And Father God, help us to do our best to help others welcome you into their heart too, so they can have that hope. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our ushers are going to come and serve communion. We're going to do it all together today, meaning they're going to pass the tray. When you get your communion element, if you'll just hold it, we're going to receive them all at the same time. So sometimes we do it where we have you come down. We're doing it the other way today. So just as the team comes to sing this song, we will come back and we will receive it all together in just a moment. But let the Lord minister to you as they sing, and let's remember what the Lord has done for us.
Oh, you took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood.
Chapter 22, it says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Father, we take this bread and we remember your broken body. We remember, Lord, how you suffered and died on the cross, and how your body was pierced, and how it was struck, and it was your beard was plucked, and you were beaten, and you were torn. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to be our Savior. We receive this bread now in remembrance of Jesus. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Let's hold up a cup. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed on the cross, that covers and takes away our sin and pays the price for our redemption. Thank you, Lord, that you've redeemed us, that you've called us, that you've set us apart, that you've given us a new nature. Lord, that you've given us a new name, that you've given us a new home for eternity in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood. We receive this cup right now in remembrance of what you did on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Would you stand and just worship the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don, can we do that glory to his name again? To his name. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don Caldwell, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, we thank you for the message of your love and patience with us. And Lord, we just want to worship you. We want to recognize that you're our reason for being. You are the only mercy that we have, but Lord, your mercy endures forever, and we thank you for each person in this place and each person watching online, Lord, that has found you as their Savior, who has the joy of having you in their heart and their life. Lord, we thank you for each one of those miracles that you have done in our lives. Lord, we pray that we might be able to spread that joy around, Lord, and to share you with those that we meet as we go out from this place. Keep us safe, and may we tell the world that Jesus loves them. In your precious name we pray. Amen.